Hello, grandkids, and welcome to OPA 66. This is Kevin DeFrango. Beside me is Ken Phillips. Sir, how are you doing?
I am well. It's been a little while again. I promise we're going to get better at recording regularly here. But, you know, sometimes little things pop up here and there.
It's been a little crazy on both ends. The trip to WrestleMania does not help. It did get other things done for Stunt Granny, but OPA in particular, not a participant in that event.
Yeah, no. I guess you were the OPA correspondent at WrestleMania, if you want to think of it that way.
I could think of it that way.
You know, I think that the Stunt Granny-ish thing that we may have noticed about WrestleMania was a tag team coming out dressed in Saiyan armor that I saw online. That was pretty cool.
You know, I've got to admit, it didn't completely dawn on me that they were wearing Saiyan armor, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the picture, it's
well, yeah, I'm like, oh, why was I like, I was like, oh, he's dressed up like Goku. Like, it didn't hit me. I guess the term Saiyan armor didn't pop into my head.
Yeah.
Well, I did say, I'm like, oh, I was like, Xavier Woods even had, he was even wearing a monkey tail.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Maybe we should explain so people who aren't like Dragon Ball Z nerds like myself.
Well, and I was having to explain that even to Jeremy when we were at the event, when we were at WrestleMania. I'm like, oh, well, see, there's A, if you just go to Dragon Ball itself, you can see Goku with a tail.
That's true. You don't even need the Z. And actually, if you're at the Z, you're going to miss him with the tail because he loses that at some point during Dragon Ball. And then during the Z part is when we see the Saiyan armor, though, which is what
correct
Vegeta, Nappa, Raditz, presumably all this, they were the only surviving Saiyans who had, I guess, what we just maintained contact with the Saiyan culture. Like Goku came to Earth basically in a ripoff of Superman's origin story.
Yes, it's a good shortcut way to put it.
So he's from another planet, but his there were still some other people, very much, I would say, like the villains from Superman 2.
They were very Superman 2.
Came to Earth, and they were wearing this Saiyan armor, which is where we get this from.
Yeah, Zod had much better fashion sense than
so, yeah, you could imagine that if it was like General Zod and company, if they came out dressed like them, I guess if you're not Dragon Ball fans, that would be like the equivalent. Which, you know,
yeah,
really.
Oh, and I guess we didn't get around to it. It was,
you know,
New Day,
Kevin,
was who,
oh, yeah,
was who dressed as the Saiyans, which should be said at this point.
And it should also be said at this point that New Day is a wrestling tag team or group.
Yes. They kind of invoke
collective.
The Freebird rule, which is any of the threesome can defend the tag team titles.
Oh, okay. So they are a
tag team champions.
D-Generation X, almost, then?
Well, D-Generation X never really invoked the Freebird rule.
I see. But they would just send, Dog and Badass Billy Gunn out to sort of take care of the tag team.
If there were any tag team issues, it was those two.
Gotcha.
So in this situation, because like Shawn Michaels, well, actually at that point they didn't have Shawn Michaels.
New Day,
like Triple H didn't take the place of Road Dogg or Billy Gunn,
which would be kind of funny to think about.
Or even Sean Waltman didn't take the place, or X-Pac at that point,
right?
Didn't take the place of.
Although didn't he at some points he wrestled tag team? I feel like.
Yeah, and not that he wouldn't be with them at. You know, for come on, six mans have been standard for years at this point. So, you know, anytime you need more than two people in a match, throw X-Pac in there. And then if you really get crazy and you have an 8-man match, you include Triple H.
Yeah, it's pretty wild in a way that there was room for X-Pac there in all of this, all these other personalities, but it feels like there was, like, he was definitely, an integral part of that team for whatever, you know, well, I'm not sure what his role was, but he filled it.
Yeah, he was kind of the wild card, because, I mean, a lot of times that the second-in-command, because he didn't even seem like a second-in-command, really. Because normally, if there's two singles wrestlers in a tag team duo in a four-person group, it's like there's, you know, the leader, then there's the second-in-command, and then there's the tag team.
Right.
And X-Pac never really had the second-in-command vibe, well, no, ever.
Because it was Triple H and Shawn Michaels, right? I mean,
well, at that point, Shawn Michaels wasn't with them. Because Shawn Michaels lost to Steve Austin, so they kicked him out of the group. Oh, but okay. It was his retirement. And right. Michaels came back to do it when he came back. But I'm not sure how together the group was at that point too. Okay. Like him and Triple H then did it on their own, which was easy because they were and are good friends. But yeah, Shawn, because it was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and China was the main DX, and then they kicked out Shawn Michaels for losing to Austin, and then it was because, well, China still filled her. Well, really, I guess she was almost second in command most of the time.
That's true. I would say that she was above X-Pac in the D-Generation X rankings. She was sort of the queen figure, I would say.
Yeah.
To Triple H's king, if you will.
The king of kings, baby.
No, she did have sort of like a, I don't know, regal bearing, would you say? Like, she would always do like poses when she was in the ring.
You could say that.
Yeah, I think she was going for that at least.
But yeah, to get back to the Freebird rule and New Day and the Saiyan armor.
Let's go back one level in the dream world here. We're crashing the SUV. Go ahead.
Oh, man. So New Day can have any of their three guys wrestle, unlike DX, really at any juncture.
Because they are a three-man group.
Because they're a three-man group. And,
all apparently African-Americans, it appears to be. In case,
yes. If anyone in the OPA audience does not actually watch professional wrestling, which I kind of assume they do, but hey, then maybe there's a chance that they don't.
Sure. Let's just... You know, we don't want to turn away listeners, Kevin. I think we should be inclusive.
We got to give them all the information.
Whoever wants to listen to us is certainly welcome to. So, you know,
right?
Explain
it to me. We don't need any. We don't need any less listeners.
That's true. I mean, I don't think we can actually. You know, I mean, I know negative numbers exist in theory, but I don't think they actually exist in the universe. So, yes, that's a good point. The other thing is earlier, if I could take it up another level in the dream world here, we were talking about, you know, these wrestlers, the New Day, were wearing Saiyan armor.
Yes.
How that armor was first worn by Goku's enemies from his home planet.
Yeah, compared to Superman 2.
Vegeta would be the obvious parallel to General Zod then in this scenario.
Definitely.
So that leads me to wonder, who would you say is the better villain in that matchup there? Because that's a pretty tricky one, I think.
Well, you're asking a guy that is not that big of a Superman fan.
Mm.
So I'm going to go Vegeta.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think I might be willing to go there, too. But just because of his, like, he stuck around, like, his longevity, I think, is a big difference.
Well, yeah, there's part of that. Like, I've always, I think a lot of the villains for Dragon Ball Z, I enjoyed them. Like, and it did help that Vegeta hung around to become, he had his big face turn moment.
Yeah. He definitely did he definitely turned face at one point. Although he would not be above, you know, turning again if the situation called for it.
Yeah, he always did make that
for a while there, at least. Yeah, he would go back and forth.
He kept on warning people that it would happen. and it kind of did. Like, he never overly dicked anyone over, but he did kind of do the old I'm taking my ball and going home routine.
Right. There was a certain amount of danger about him, I feel like, for a while, even after he was quote-unquote one of the good guys, even. But
right.
General Zod never got that chance.
No.
From what I understand, I haven't seen the newest Superman reboot, but from what I understand, he actually met the same fate in both movies. He was basically straight up murdered by Superman.
No, I thought he was. I thought that they in the movie they put him back into the cube in the original movie with Christopher Reeve.
No, actually,
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I know I hadn't either, and so I wasn't sure, but. I think I showed you one of these YouTube videos that's kind of entertaining with CinemaSins, it's called.
Yes. CinemaSins.
And they kind of go over movies and point out all the little things that are wrong with them, or even not necessarily wrong with them, but just sort of entertaining to point out, I feel like, sometimes.
Some of it's just entertainment.
Yeah.
There are a lot of sins involved, though.
Yeah, and they keep a counter as you watch. It's worth checking out. But the, tell them Opa sent you. when they noticed the spike in their traffic. But the thing is, it reminded me to go back and kind of look at that first Superman more. And he actually, in that movie, you remember he takes the... whatever red Krypton crystal and like loses his power.
Oh, right. And then
so he can be with Lois and not like, you know, destroy her, I guess, when they're
not blow up her womb with his
right.
With his seed.
Yes. That would be gruesome. I'm glad that they didn't have that happen. Instead,
I would have loved to have seen the special effects in that time frame for
I don't think the world I mean you know, in the 70s, people were pretty avant-garde with movies in general, I feel like. They really were pushing bounds with, like, Clockwork Orange and you know, Apocalypse Now, things like that. But I still don't think they were ready to make a comic book movie where the superhero murder, you know, basic, well, not murders, but...
blows up his wife's vagina.
That's it, yeah. That's the phrase I was looking for. I don't think that I don't think they were ready to put that into a like tentpole summer blockbuster kids movie back then. So
yeah, they aren't going to do it now either.
True. Not yet. They're getting, you know,
because I didn't even see a vagina blow up in Deadpool, and that was rated R and an adult movie.
You saw that one?
Yes.
How many thumbs up would you give Deadpool?
Am I going 5 stars?
Or yeah, you five can thumbs? Give 5 thumbs. Yeah.
I'd go 4 thumbs. That was good. A lot of fun.
That's pretty good. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Well, so I feel like we went on a little bit of a tangent here, Kevin.
We never go on tangents, Ken. I actually hate when they're noted. Because we can just get back to the point where you were talking about Superman straight up murdering Zod.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, Goku never straight up murders.
Just to wrap that up with a little bow. Superman famously doesn't kill anyone, apparently, quote unquote. But in the original movie, he tricks them by, like, swapping. He gains his power and they lose power, basically, if you remember. Because, like, he switches the polarity or whatever. So when he steps inside the little capsule, he's not losing power. They're losing power. And he's gaining his superpowers. So then when he comes out, he's basically fighting them and they're, like, normal people. Like, they can't fly. The one guy thinks the lunkhead guy tries to fly and then ends up falling down a bottomless pit. Then Lois Lane kills the female supervillain by throwing her down a pit, and Superman, like...
A different pit?
I think so. There was, like, various pit, like... There was, like, these platforms with, like, ice crystals shooting up out of, like, nowhere underground, and you can't see the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So there was lots of areas suitable for throwing people down. Yes.
Maybe possible impalement.
Possible impalement.
Definite death.
You know, if no one goes down there and checks on you, yeah, you're not going to be
And you don't come back out.
Yes. And it didn't seem like they were about to send a rescue team down there.
The Fortress of Solitude doesn't have its own rescue team.
No. Well, I mean, in a way, yes. I mean, Superman should be capable of doing that. But it didn't seem like he had the will to, for whatever reason. Because, yeah, he caught Zod's hand when he tried to punch him and basically crushed his hand, lifts him up, and then throws him down into the pit when he has no superpowers. So I feel like that's pretty... That was really glossed over, I think, at the time.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, for some reason, my memory, and that must have been from the beginning of the movie then, that they're in the cube. I thought that they got back into the cube at the end of the movie.
No, Superman did not have, it seemed like, the ability to do that. That was something like they did on Krypton, put them in the, they were actually in these planes, I guess, to get specific. And technical.
Yes.
As I like to do so much. Some would say pedantic, maybe. But, yeah.
10-cent word for everybody. OPA 66.
That's right. You come here for vocabulary. I'm not going to leave people disappointed.
Come here for the New Day talk. Leave with 10-cent words.
Yes. So, yeah. It was... It was a good story, good movie, and I think that Terrence Stamp as General Zod makes it really hard to pick. But I'll agree with you. Vegeta was the better villain.
Well, I'll tell you what. There was another topic we wanted to get to, and I was surprised when I heard. I am not that big of an NBA fan. I watch the playoffs a little bit when there aren't hockey playoffs on.
See, I can always remember your, but I guess you were more of a college basketball guy because I feel like your family watched basketball at least. Or
well, I do watch, and I've kind of slowed down on even the college basketball. But I did watch a lot of basketball when I was younger, and then when we got the ability to watch hockey. When cable systems became a thing.
What is this? What is this yes. hockey you speak of? Yes.
Well, you know, you could always get the Pirates in Altoona.
That was back when Altoona first made contact with the outside world. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not completely.
Was that 1983? Man, I don't know why I'm burning Altoona, but...
Well, the Steelers games were always on.
Correct.
Like, as long as I can remember watching a football game, the Steelers were on Sundays in Altoona. And the Pirates, you could get on a fairly regular basis, I feel like. And
correct.
I always feel like that was another one where it was the cheapest sport to go to, so we as a family, the DeFrango family, always traveled to a lot of Pirate games. It helped having grandparents in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that was probably a big part of it there.
So, you know, it's summer. That's the sport that's being played.
You got to visit your grandparents anyway.
Yeah, going to visit the grandparents anyway. Everyone goes to the ball game. Everyone's happy.
Yes. Yes. It's the perfect story.
But the Penguins weren't on TV. And their season is during the school year. So I really didn't have much connection with the Penguins until I feel like it was like around 88 or so. But as soon as I started watching hockey, like my level of watching professional basketball pretty much dropped off a cliff since they have similar seasons. As far as when they start and when they end.
So it's tough to do both.
Yeah, it's tough to do both unless you're pulling off like a what is it? Like I watch now I watch English soccer in the mornings.
Yes.
And I just leave that on. So I can watch that and then watch hockey at night. So as long as it's like a different time of the day.
Okay.
That kind of helps.
I thought you were going to say like a Fight Club situation where you were you had a secret identity or like an alternate personality that you didn't know existed who stayed awake during the times when you thought you were sleeping and watched sports that you weren't it didn't have time to watch. But
that would be
that makes sense too.
That would be pretty cool.
Okay.
If I could somehow do that and stay up to watch the other sports, I would be completely okay.
I don't know. If you could do it without side effects, I guess. That would be great.
Yeah, without blowing up buildings in downtown Columbus.
Forming a terrorist group. Yeah.
Forming a terrorist group.
Yeah, you know, shooting a hole in your cheek with a gun. You know, little things like that. If you can maybe get away with it.
I can't remember what Meatloaf's name was.
Bob?
Was
his name Bob in that movie?
I'm trying to think, because they actually say his full name after he dies, and that was the scene that I was trying to get to, and I'm blanking on what his full name. I haven't seen Fight Club in quite a while.
You know what? There's 100 quotes you could have pulled. I'll give you a second chance. Is there another quote from that movie you can remember?
No. No, I'm terrible.
This is Tom's enraged colon. Or something like that. Yeah, I'm pretty good at this too.
Yeah, I because I know that I watched it a handful of times. Like, I don't think I was one of those people that watched that. Like,
how about this?
Shit ton.
Wasn't there some rules about Fight Club, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Everyone repeats those.
Okay.
Well, or makes fun of them.
Yeah.
It's just like
so. You thought of that immediately, and then we're just like, you know what? This is hacky. I'm not going to go there.
Oh, well, I thought that the, his name is Robert Paulson.
Oh, and it was Bob. There we go.
Yep. Okay. I wasn't that far off.
No. Just needed a little help getting there, and we got there.
Yeah.
I will stand up and say right now.
You talked me along to that one.
There was no Googling involved. Kevin did not consult a screen at any point during our conversation.
Yeah, it's kind of fun not to from time to time. When I clearly don't know the answer, that one was just annoying me. There are times where I just don't know the answer, so I'm like, I'm just going elsewhere to look. Well, and to really
moving
get
on
back to the
yes.
To the NBA, to me not really watching it that much.
Right.
I was unfamiliar. I watched Steph Curry play a little bit in college.
Yes.
And
People probably realize today he's the most, maybe the most popular NBA player of the moment.
And that was my original point that I was going to get around to. When the wife and I went out for Christmas dinner, and not on Christmas, but we like kind of did like a celebration dinner.
Mm-hmm. And not Christmas, it was, what is it? Krampus?
Oh.
Is that what you guys celebrate?
Yeah. It was festive. It was for Festivus.
Yes.
Krampus is more like the Grinch, except actually evil.
That's right. You guys were volunteering as Krampus at a local children's hospital.
I don't even know where to go with that one, so I'm just going to keep on moving along.
Very good.
But these two gentlemen who did seem to watch the NBA on the regular, both, they said that they do not like Steph Curry. And I'm like, that kid just doesn't seem... How do you not like that guy? Like, it was one of those things where I guess I've only seen him in commercials and some spot highlights here and there. I can't say I try to stay up for West Coast games. Like... His game didn't start until like 10:30 last night.
Right.
The Warriors' 73rd win, which was a record for the NBA, which is different than the records that we're going to talk about. You know, I remember used to staying up. Going back to the college basketball, I loved UNLV when we were in high school. And I'd stay up like until 1 a.m. to watch their games. Like they'd start at 10:30 or 11 o'clock our time, and I'd stay up until 12:30, 1 a.m. to watch those. But yeah, nowadays, I'm hitting bed. No thanks.
Yes,
I didn't exactly DVR it either.
Why would you, you know, spend your time watching that when you could have Tyler do it for you? I understand. But yeah, I'm not a fan necessarily of the NBA or even basketball, but you know, I think over the years I've probably become more of a fan. And maybe part of the reason that so this may be what is different between me and say someone who's more, and I think it's maybe like the basketball traditionalists, you might say, who don't care for Steph Curry and his style of play. I would say, he does not like look like a traditional basketball player.
I guess I don't know why. He's a point guard / shooting guard. He doesn't score, even though it seems like it, all of his points from 3-point range.
Yes. Well, he scores a lot from 3-point range.
Which really was the main topic of the article.
Because it's officially that he did break his, you know, well.
For the third.
He officially set the mark for a new record, I guess, yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, because they played their last regular season game yesterday.
When we recorded this, yes.
Right.
So,
well, we
pulled back the curtain a little bit, yeah.
On a timely manner here.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so he ended up having 402 three-pointers.
Which is a new record by a lot.
Yeah, his record from last season was 286.
So, like, the guy who had the record before him is really going to be, like, kind of discouraged, right, Kevin?
Well, and that was the one thing, again, to go back to another topic. Hey, we keep on also pulling, and I get that was terrible. I keep on not thinking of Leo's movie name, Inception.
Yes.
Oh, because he did take a year off in between breaking records. Okay, that's what I thought. But really, Ray Allen, he broke it in 2012, 2013.
Yes.
And he only beat the record by 3.
Yes.
Which, you know, hey, breaking a record is breaking a record. It's impressive.
But that seems pretty much par for the course looking back here at the previous record breakers. There's a 2 difference between Ray Allen and Dennis Scott, who had the number, who's currently number 5 on the list here.
Right.
So, and you know, you really break the record by a little bit, it looks like, is the norm. So,
and even the last year is 286, which
I would argue is a big jump from being like breaking the record by 2.2 3-pointers, and then like by 3 3-pointers, and then to jump to 14 3-pointers is I'd say significant a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a jump, but when you go from 286,
oh well, then
to 482, well, 402. Because at the time of this article, when they pulled it up, he had just broken his own record.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Because this was in late February that this article was pulled from. And that's why I sent you the final number today.
Yeah. And he also had 45% shooting overall for three-pointers, I believe. So that's that seems... And, you know, as we were watching the highlights on YouTube there...
Yeah, against the Oklahoma Thunder. Because that was the other thing that I checked. I know that the Warriors, the Pirates, going back to that, have kind of studied some of the Warriors' techniques, and they actually give guys games off on purpose to help keep them rested during the year.
I see.
So he only played 79 games this year. He could have. There's 82 games, I believe, in a season.
Yeah, that sounds right, because they were 73-9, I believe, this year, the team overall, Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So that would be 82.
Yeah, so he didn't play 3 games, and he averaged 5 a game, but in the game that we watched the highlights, he hit 12. So obviously there are at least a few games where he went under his own average.
Yes, that seems likely based on
just the fact that the word is the word is average.
Yes. So he would he had a hell of a game, and it was fun to watch some of those highlights. And it wasn't all just shooting, like, from wherever he felt like. Like, I feel like this is a bit of a, when we talked about it earlier, this is a bit of a callback to the Lionel Messi topic that we had, where maybe Messi was more dominant in all areas than Steph Curry is, but I still feel like, you know, what we're seeing is kind of similar in terms of one athlete sort of like, just basically, because it seems like Messi sort of has the same way. Like, he has, just seems like when he has the ball, he has like total control. And Steph Curry is like the same way. Like, he can kind of go in for the layup or shoot from way downtown, as the announcers were fond to say.
Well, you know,
it basically looks it looks equally without effort, you know, effortless, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not a big, like, the only thing that you probably bag him for is not getting a lot of rebounds, but really, it's not a point guard or a shooting guard's kind of job. Like, that's for the center or the two forwards, really. Like, I mean, it's just kind of the way that it works. Like, just like in any sport, you kind of have your, what you're supposed to do, in general, at least.
Right.
I mean, there are some guys like Magic Johnson, when we were younger, who was, I mean, he was, Steph Curry's 6'3", which is still a pretty tall human being.
But when you see him out there next to all these other basketball players, he looks like he's Scottie Pippen or something, you know?
Well, Scottie Pippen was kind of tall, too.
There you go. See, and that's my point.
No, he does look quite a bit smaller. Just because he can kind of slash and just do regular jump shooting, I mean, that's crazy. Well, you were making fun of the way downtown, but there were so many of his shots out of the 12.
Well, yeah, and the game winning one was he was definitely inside of the area of the field, the court that was covered by the logo. When he shot that,
yeah,
he was towards the edge of it, I think, but like he was within that area of the court.
The article from Slate.com that you had sent me that kind of started this one, they originally in their article said that it was 31 foot that he had shot from, but they corrected their error and it was 38 feet. And I mean, it was one of those things where he didn't have a whole lot of time. Like, he only had a couple of seconds, but he still looked like he was... There are so many times where, even when people hit those, you can tell that they're just heaving at the basket, praying that it goes in.
Right, it's more like a pass towards the basket, almost, motion.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, you're hoping it's gonna go in, but you're not completely sure. I mean, he pulled up and took a jump shot from 38 foot away. Like you said, he was closer to half court than he was to the three-point line. And he just drains it. And it's just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I don't know how, like, those two guys that said they don't like him, it's one of those things that, even though I don't watch much basketball, that is one of those things that's just like, to watch somebody shoot that well, like, that's one of those things that I liked a lot when I was a kid. I guess I liked Larry Bird, who was a shooter when he was a kid. I even liked his dad, Steph Curry's dad, Del Curry, was a good shooter in his own right. But his son is just otherworldly.
Yeah, it is weird to break through your own record to such a degree. And when you've also had the 2 and 3 spots. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that is really just crushing the record. Like, when you go 100 over what somebody else did.
So,
and really, you went 100 over what you did, which was still pretty... Like you said, like, the 14 jump is still a pretty decent-sized jump. Because you're almost averaging, well, at least an extra half a three-pointer a game.
So it'll be interesting to see. Do you think there will be more... you know, players like that are in the mold of Steph Curry going forward? Will this be sort of like a I'm trying to think, like when I mean, obviously I wasn't watching basketball back then, but I don't know if you're familiar with when Wilt Chamberlain came into the league and sort of like dominated. It doesn't quite feel like he's dominating maybe to that degree, but will this maybe change what it looks like to be a good, you know, a great basketball player? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's an interesting question. Like, that's one of those things that just shooting that much is, it's just such a skill. Like, I don't know how you reproduce that. Like, it's just, it's pretty interesting just with all the metrics and everything. Like, I don't know how you would judge how to, you know, I mean, they're trying to make swings more efficient in baseball.
Uh-huh.
And just, well, get soccer and, movements and better.
I think basketball is actually ahead of all the other sports in terms of stats and what they're measuring on.
Baseball is...
Well, maybe not in stats, but in terms of, like, what the raw data is, like, they can tell exactly where someone's standing on the court when they're shooting and, like,
oh,
what their average speed is and, like, all kinds of, you know, I don't know. More in depth than what I'm getting into, but
well, and I would imagine that's part of the reason why Slate could correct from the 31 foot to 38 foot. They probably
with all the camera, they have like all these cameras everywhere, and like they're with, you know, tracking technology.
So. Yeah, and it's a little bit easier only having five people, well, 10 people on the floor. In some way, I think hockey would be a little bit harder because it's faster moving than basketball is. I mean, I don't think basketball is slow by any means. But when you add ice skating into the equation, things do change.
Right, yeah. That does make a difference between that and wood.
Well, just running.
Yeah.
You know, is what the
I mean, you can also try to run on ice, but it's not going to go well for you.
No, it does not work out all that well.
So yeah, it's pretty amazing. And you know, I guess it reminds me a little bit, Kevin, of, I don't know, I hate to bring up a bad memory potentially here, but when we were in Kent one March, maybe perhaps April, watching at the very bar where, according to legend, Drew Carey was also watching this game with us in a different room.
Not legend. He was there. I mean, they did show him. And he was a... I mean, as much as an irregular can be a regular, he was a regular.
Well, if I was there, right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't see him. But legend does say he was there. There was another room, perhaps VIP area, maybe.
No, he was just downstairs, and we were upstairs.
He was probably getting bottle service. not where us plebeians were. anyway, we were watching Kent State, who was doing well in the basketball tournament.
Yeah, they were in the Elite Eight,
and. They ended up losing to a team that I don't recall who they were, but I do recall
Indiana
watching them similarly, maybe not exactly the same way, but they had a lot of success draining the three that game.
Tim Coverdale. Tim actually,
Coverdale? Okay.
In fact, that was one of those experiences that, you know, you have some bad sports experiences, yeah. And they definitely scar you. That one ranked up there.
Yes. Because there was literally, I don't think anything that Kent could have done to have prevented that. Because he was able to just stop and make a three-pointer seemingly at will.
I guess that would be kind of interesting. And that would be another stat I'd need to look up.
At least that's my memory. Now, I was in a sports bar, and yes, I... do you recall having a few alcoholic beverages that evening? And no, I was not by any means an expert in basketball. But every time I can remember watching, and you know, just to kind of like, I was rooting for Kent, you know, obviously, being just out of personal safety, if nothing else.
Oh,
we were at Kent's campus, I should say, for this game.
Yeah, Indiana Hence, was 15 of 19.
15 of 19 for three-pointers, yes. So that is pretty ridiculous there, I think.
Yeah, considering that that is above Steph Curry's average for three-pointers, well above Steph Curry's average of three-pointers at 45%.
Well, good. I feel good that my memory from, how many years ago was that?
That was 02.
Okay, my memory from 14 years ago. Holy crap. It's still good.
Yeah, yeah, we were roommates, I think, still at that juncture.
Wow. Okay, time does fly, but it was 14 short years ago, yes. But at the same time, I guess to the point I was going to make, and I have two, actually, if I could make.
Oh, go ahead, if you allow it.
Point number one, we haven't, from then, we never really saw, like, a different offense, like, come about that just emphasizes, you know, shooting from everywhere. You know, like,
oh,
granted, that was one college game,
right?
But it showed what was possible, I think, to me at least. And I'm not like a huge basketball fan, but I thought, like, well, why doesn't everybody just do this? Because it seems like a great way to win games, because there's nothing anybody could really do to stop you, I don't think.
Well, and that was the other kind of interesting thing about that 12 three-point game that Curry had. There were a few of them where I'm like, he's covered. Like, the defender was doing as good a job as he could without blocking the shot.
Right.
On a number of them, and he was still draining them. That's why I guess I'm always surprised that there aren't that many. I guess it doesn't seem that way. Again, maybe my lack of watching games throws things off. But
I've seen other like clips of him where he has.
Well, I just mean in general. Like, I'm not sure how much better the shooting is. Maybe it's a lot better than I think. But it doesn't seem like anyone's even close to that level, though, either.
Well, from the stats, I would say not, because he stands alone at the top of the three-point shooting this year for sure. Yeah, I did have a point too, and I bet you're
bated breath right here.
Yes. Wait, help me out here. What was my point one?
If it would change the way people think about basketball.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that it would. Like, I mean, I guess really good shooters have been around a long time. That's why I always enjoyed the three-point contest more than the dunk contest. Like, that was always impressive to me.
Yeah, because it seems like you can have position as a defender and take away someone, like, driving to the basket, right?
Correct.
But you can't do that. You can't have position and stop them from shooting a three-pointer. I don't think.
Not necessarily, no.
So it's like, if you are able to do that and, like, jump and shoot above someone's hands, because you can take a high arc, I would, you know, it seems like that's the idea. It's just super hard to stop. And also, Steph Curry seems to be amazing at ball control. I believe the term may be breaking someone's ankles, because I did see a clip of that against another player.
Yeah, and I guess that was pretty interesting too. I've seen a couple of his like ball control drills that he does, because I mean he dribbles with both hands and makes sure that that he can handle the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe. So it may be just because back in the day, that was more the position that I played. I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, I was not a tall guy. I although it was kind of weird in grade school, I was a forward. That was a long, long time ago.
Well, you know, grade school is not the NBA.
No, either. it's not even high school.
No.
It's not even close to high school.
No, you know what? I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to trust you on that one. When you say grade school, it's not high school. But yeah, so my point too then is that for probably fans of traditional basketball, it maybe doesn't look like basketball to them. Because it does seem almost like cheating in a way. I mean, it's not, but it's like a gentleman's agreement that that's not what we do. Like, you know, they've maybe gotten used to seeing more physical style of, and I guess that's the opposite of a gentleman's agreement, but,
well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I guess that you brought it up just, and I didn't completely, hear the whole topic, today on, Bennington, but they were talking about which sport has changed the most in the last like 30 or 40 years. And, you know, how do you compare people with how things have changed? Like, there wasn't a three-point line at one point. Like, I mean, that needed to be introduced. Like, that was still not a thing when we were really young, actually. Like, I mean, that was something that came along within our lifetimes.
And I guess the shot clock was in the 60s, maybe?
The shot clock was longer.
At one point, they did not have a shot clock.
And one point, they did not have a shot clock at one juncture. So, I mean...
So, there's been a lot of big changes in basketball, for sure.
Well, yeah. I think that there have been a lot of changes in every sport. And it could be another one. Like, but I'm not sure. Like, again, going back to... I don't know how many people are mutant Steph Currys that can shoot this well. And I mean, I didn't really watch that much college basketball to see if people were, and again, to go back to those highlights, like a lot of them weren't that close to the 3-point line. Like it wasn't like his, and I remember a lot of the guys when I was growing up, their feet were like right on the 3-point line.
Yes. Or jumping over it as they're shooting. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, okay. Like they're, you know, that's where they need to be to shoot it. But I mean, he is just throwing it up from wherever he can. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, I can judge. And that's one of those interesting things, and I'm not sure that they can come up with a metric. Like, he's got to be able to judge that distance in his head and then be able to throw it the right amount of distance. And
it seemed like when that game-winning shot from 38 feet, it almost seemed like he had practiced that before. Like, he did not seem like this was a weird position to be shooting from at all. It just looked like... Yep. Okay. Let's just do a little jump shot here. All right.
Yep. Just another day at the office.
Yeah. So I do feel like if coaches, you know, from younger levels or, you know, decided to emphasize this style of play more, it could change things, but it does remain to be seen whether that will happen. Cause I think it isn't something that you can like, you know, change as a coach, right? With the players you have, would you say? You almost have to have developed these players this way.
Right, yeah. And you've just got to... I don't know how often that guy shoots, but I mean, it's got to be extremely often. Often.
Yes, he's very often, we know. Totally often. But, yeah, and like Lionel Messier, I think we talked about at the time, it actually makes sense for Messi to shoot. Did I say Messier? Yeah. It makes sense for Messi to shoot more often because he can actually get it in there more often when he's shooting. So, like, if the Steph Curry situation is similar where he takes a lot of shots, I feel like that is
certainly,
you know, understandable.
And that makes a 45% field goal percentage from three-point range even more impressive.
Yeah.
You know, because normally the more your volume, the more you're going to miss, really.
True. In raw numbers, that's probably true to some degree. But yes, if you're, but yes.
He's just a mutant.
Yes.
I mean, that's not an insult. I mean, that just like Messi is, and I'm trying to think of, we did the Mike Trout baseball.
I would say of all these guys, Trout is the guy who gets the least props in general, culturally, I would say. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
I don't think he's quite as big of a name as the other guys.
And maybe it's partly the as we would say, whatever controversy, quote unquote, there is about Steph Curry helps him out a little bit in terms of like people wanting to root for him more. I noticed even when we were watching the highlight earlier, the one color commentator was kind of like chiding his
his little dance,
play by play guy. Well, no, he was chiding his fellow announcer, the play by play announcer.
Oh,
when he was like reacting to him getting these three pointers, and he was like, "All right, don't overreact." He actually said, "Don't overreact." He just made the shot. All right, let's go. And by the end, I think even he was like, "Whoa!" By the end of that game, he was maybe ready more to overreact a little bit. But it seemed like he was probably, you know, a former player. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Oh,
a former
yeah.
player who's maybe more like, you know, of the traditionalist school, and was not necessarily thrilled with the Steph Curry phenomenon. So yeah, I picked up on that a little bit. Just from him, but you know, it doesn't surprise me that there's people who aren't on board. I would say that it seems like they're in a bit of the minority, though.
Yeah, and like I said, like he to me is more interesting because I even think, again, to go back to the article that they said that the LeBron James is still, you know, kind of the king of the NBA. That kind of shooting just draws me in way more than a slam dunk does. Like that to me is far more impressive.
I guess for me too, it's more like a skill than it is. I mean, I'm not saying LeBron James is not skillful, but he was also born with a certain body type that definitely helps him. And you know, I forget which article it was reading, but they said that Steph Curry, and I agree, he looks like maybe the unusually fit guy at your office. like, you know, it just seems to be all skill almost to some degree. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he does not look like LeBron who... Really, I when he said he was thinking about trying to play tight end, I'm like, yeah, he probably could. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's big enough, he's fast enough, he's tall enough. Like, I'm like, I'm sure, like, that guy is just a freak athlete, too.
Right.
And given enough time, I'm sure he could master another sport.
Right. But, you know, it's just, this year at least, it's been fun to you know, not that I've been rooting for them, really, but... I can see people having a fun time rooting for this team. So we'll see what happens. Of course, next year, that'll be in time for the backlash, I'm sure, if they win this year. Everyone is going to start hating on them soon enough. But
yep, there's always a rebound.
Yes.
And, well, we hope you did not hate this, this show.
Wow. This was like the Steph Curry edition here.
It was the, Super Saiyan, Steph Curry edition.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe he is part Saiyan. Maybe that's why he's such a good shooter.
That is why we actually had this whole episode here is to,
was that your third thought that you never fully formulated?
That was the third thought that I was not even able to speak of until now, for fear the NSA would shut us down. Steph Curry is a Saiyan from the planet Vegeta, I think is what they call it.
Yes. I do believe that's the name.
So we've uncovered him. We've unmasked him. I think
there's
we're ready
Saiyan
to
within our midst.
You know, we've seen what happened to Snowden. I think we're probably in for something similar. I just think we're willing to take this risk and, you know, let the chips fall where they may, basically.
Oh man. So, well, our
sippy
chips,
time beer, right?
And I haven't completely explained that yet.
Oh.
That I wanted to change to Bell Time beer. Our good cohort in crime, Eric Nelson, thought that it was better to name all the Stunt Granny beers wrestling names.
Oh, okay.
I agreed with this assessment. And bell time has more to do with professional wrestling than sippy time does. So I figured the hashtag could change. I was hoping and still hope to put together a video of the brewing of the latest Stunt Granny beer, which is Shooting Star IPA, which is the renamed Born on Mars. Also changed the formula a little bit.
Yeah.
To the brewing itself. I included Apollo hops, which had not been included previously. And instead of using the Equinox hops is more of the bittering hops, I use them as the aroma slash taste hops.
Gotcha. So you added those in later into the process?
Yeah, later into the process rather than earlier as I did in the first edition. So we'll see how that turns out. I mean, it's only just in the primary at the current moment.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how it'll taste. But, plus, I put in the dry malt extract a little bit later than I should have. I think it's fine. It's still bubbling. It's still fermenting. It appears as if it'll be okay.
Well, I enjoyed both the beverages I had here this evening.
Yes, because you went with the wrist lock, which is the Belgian wit Christmas ale with cranberry and plum. I do want to up the fruitage next year a little bit. I want to make it a little more fruity.
You're always saying that. You just want to make things more fruity.
Trying to make this show more fruity by the by the episode. And then there was Irish Whip, which I don't know how I didn't think of that in the first place, really, when I was trying to come up with Irish names for the wedding. That is a no-brainer. And that was reformulated a little bit to my own tastes from the previous edition. Anyway, which was basically a clone of Brian Boru from Three Floyds, their Irish Red Ale.
All right. So,
You had those two, and then I had Citradelic IPA from New Belgium, which is quite tasty. Both of their new beers that I had, I really enjoyed, because I had Side Trip, which was a Belgian pale ale I enjoyed quite a bit. The IPA, very citrusy. I like more of those fruity type IPAs rather than the more bitter ones. So, yeah, that was really good. And then I also had Milkman's Son, which is the oatmeal milk stout from Stunt Granny Brewing, which I'm not sure that name's going to change. There are a couple of names that that are going to stay the same.
You know, you got to do your own thing sometimes. You can't bow down to the corporate, the man all the time, Kevin.
To the sellouts?
Yes. So that was, what, Bell Time?
Yes.
Bell Time beer, is that what we're calling it?
Correct. Oh. Oh, okay. Well, on that bell, this is at DeFrango11. That is at Gozer 33. Grandkids, have a good night.